The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Today, that walked into Jerusalem, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey that had never been ridden. Now that's something, isn't it? You equestrian people, tell me how easy that would have been. Right? I love what Pastor Denise has on her thing. She had it for a while. I think she may have dropped it, but she put a post up one time. She goes that we have horses for all levels. You know, for experienced people, we have experienced horses. For mid-range people, we have mid-range horses. And for people that have never rode horses, we have horses that have never been ridden. I think I'm missing something there. It's true. I kid her about that all the time. I love it, though, and it stuck with me. It was here is Jesus, and as he is getting ready. Now this starts what's traditionally known as Holy Week, right? And then for all of our Methodist friends and the other friends that have been celebrating Lent, don't save yourself the trouble. Don't even try to get down to the Texas Roadhouse on Friday. Don't even try. The wait will be, 926 hours, But they come off of Lent, and it's an awesome thing. They're happy then. They're happy. They're good. They're fun to be around when they come off of Lent, right? Because they've been eating fish for 40 days. Nothing wrong with it, but your Bible says when you go into a fast, put a little makeup on your face, comb your hair, and don't make others miserable around you. I'm paraphrasing. He said, don't do it for show. Do it from your heart. Praise God and pray to the Lord and who hears in secret, and he will reward you openly. That's what your Bible says. We can do all kinds of things to try to show how pious we are, how righteous we are, how holy we are. And the only thing that we can do to show how holy we are, do you know what the world says, what Jesus said, how this that you will know that these are your brethren? By this shall all men know that you are my brethren, that you have love one for another. That means me and Pastor got to get along. That we have love one for another. That means if you are born again and you worship Jesus, then I worship Jesus and I'm born again, then we love one another. Amen. Not hate each other. Not try to get one up on each other. There are some people that come to church just to see what they can take advantage of, right? I knew a guy that used to go to new churches a lot. He even told us, he goes, yeah, I like to visit new churches. He was an insurance salesman. No insurance salesman in here this morning, right? Okay. He was an insurance salesman. You know what he was doing? He wasn't worshiping. He was seeking out clientele. You think God doesn't know that? I mean, if I know that as a man, do you think God doesn't know that with all his infinite wisdom? God knows, amen? So praise God. Well, I am so glad you're here. Welcome to those of you joining us on the broadcast and on the live, wherever you're joining us from. God bless you. We're glad you're joining us today. This is what we traditionally call Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. I love the little runners. Those are pretty cool. Palm branches down and also coats, and then they would throw their coats in. We're gonna talk about that a little bit and the significance of what it meant when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Hopefully you'll learn something today. Hopefully I'm going to give you something today that you can take away from here as we start about it. Let me just challenge you. When you leave out of here today, knowing about Palm Sunday, knowing about the triumphal entry, just know Jesus rode into Jerusalem fully knowing, fully seeing, fully knowing, bless you, that one week he would be up on that hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull. He knew. He can you imagine? Have you ever had a, you know, have you ever went and had to be on a mission, or you had to do something you really didn't want to do? You know, because and we know that he didn't want to do it, because after the Last Supper, he was like, Father, if there be any way for this to pass from me, if there's any other way, you know, and Paul tells us that he did this despising the shame of the cross. I wonder, and this is just me, and I'm just setting up the today. I wonder if as a boy, he went by and he saw a tree growing. Now, if it had been me and I knew that was the one that they were going to hewn the cross out of, man, I'd have cut that thing down. I would have sawed it down. If it had been me. How many times do you suppose that he passed the tree? I hope that one of the times that when he passed the tree, he looked in and he said, you know, there's going to be a 10-year-old boy, and he's going to need that tree. The Romans and the Jews of the day thought they nailed him to the tree. They nailed him to the cross, so there ain't no way he's coming down. The nails didn't hold him there. This guy held him there. His love for me held him there. His love for you held him there. But we're going to back up a week. We'll talk about that next week. Now, Wednesday night, we're going to get into. There's no way I'm going to get to all this today. We're going to talk about Palm Sunday, and then I'm going to challenge you today. Is that okay? Do I have permission to challenge you today? I challenge you. I want to challenge you in love, but I want to see you grow. Well, I want you to grow in the admonition and in the reverence of the Lord. Is that okay? Okay. All right. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. And if you, and that's the wrong slide, but okay, there we go. Technology, I love it. And if you have your Bibles, I'm reading out of the New King James this morning. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. And I want you to see Jesus' heart. Have you ever wondered, you know, somebody's doing something and you're like, man, that why are they going to all these lengths? Why are they going to all this extent? They could get by with it. Today the people just want to do that which is good enough to get by, don't they? How many of you have seen people want to do something just to get it done? It doesn't matter how the quality of it is. I just want to do it, get it done with, and be done with it. But I want you to see Jesus' heart as we set up the Palm Sunday message this morning. And he says in verse number 37 of Matthew's Gospel, number 23, he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. Man. Let that sink in for just a minute. He didn't curse them. He didn't swear at them. He didn't say, you're going to get yours. One of these days I'm going to come back here. He didn't say that. He said, oh, I want you to hear his heart. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Does this sound like an angry God to you? Does this sound like somebody that's getting ready to throw lightning bolts? And this is Jesus on his way to Golgotha. I'm not fighting. I would that you would have listened. I would. He came into his own and his own received him not. He's talking from the perspective of a broken heart. Guys, we can understand this a little bit better, I think, than some of the fairer sex. I think we can understand it a little bit better. How many of us speak more clearly and open up more fluently when we write things down in a letter? See what Jesus is doing? He's opening up himself to us by his letter. See his heart. He said, I wanted to gather you together. I didn't want you to be separated. I didn't want you to be scattered, and certainly not what was coming, knowing what was coming in the near future with Caesar Nero, knowing what was coming in the near future, all the things that he said was getting ready to happen, and here he is pouring out his heart in compassion to the people that would put him on the cross in just a week. Verse number 8 says, see. And here it says, he says, look. The terminology we do, hey, look. You're messing up. Look. Look. When we say see, a lot of times we're like, see? What? You know, we try to make it harder than it is. He's just saying, let me paraphrase. He's just saying, look. Your house is left desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till I say to you, blessed, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then he went out. He went out. He departed. He left the city. Aren't you glad today that Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. Aren't you glad today that Jesus, he said, I'm not going to leave you anymore because I had to go out of Jerusalem for a while. But then you get over into Acts chapter 1, verses 8, get into Acts chapter 2, around verses 2, 3, and 4, and all of a sudden he said, I'm going to send you a comforter, and you're never going to be alone. Aren't you glad that you're never going to be alone? Even if there's not another physical body around you, you are never alone. As long as you've got the Holy Spirit in you, which is the hope, which is our hope of glory, and by him we are sealed unto that day. I'm glad we never had to hear those words that you're left desolate and you'll see me no more. Mark chapter 11, verse number 1. Mark chapter 11, verse number 1. I love doing this with folks. Hey, can you name the 12? Can you name the 12 disciples? Can you name any of them? Oh yeah, it's pretty easy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, you missed it. You missed it. You got 50%. Mark was not a disciple. Not an apostle. Neither was Luke. Luke was a physician. He was a scribe. He was sent by Theophilus, who we think was a Roman, who sent his own doctor to follow Jesus and just write down everything that he said. Whatever he does, you just write it down. He was on commission. He also wrote a report to his master Theophilus, in which we get the book of Acts. It was amazing. Here he is, a doctor. He's a physician, and he's writing down. He's writing under the and Theophilus. Some commentators think that Theophilus had duties and business and had responsibilities away. And he says, I want to know everything that's going on with Jesus because I love him. Isn't that amazing? He wanted to know. He didn't have the internet, didn't have Facebook Live, didn't have the FM broadcast, didn't have any of that stuff. He said, I want to know. And can you imagine whenever Luke would write something awesome that Jesus did, he would have a courier and he would say, get this to Theophilus. This is good. This is good. Get this over to Theophilus. He's waiting to hear this. How many of us are waiting to hear the Word of God? How many of us are waiting to hear what God's going to do now and what he's going to do for us in the future? Oh, we're waiting, aren't we? Are we excited as Theophilus? Are we as excited as if we can't be there? We'll either get on the broadcast, we'll get the CD, we'll get whatever we need to do, but we want the Word of God because God's doing something in our lives. Amen? If God's not doing something in your life, then we need to check where we are. We may not have a device connected. Got these newfangled TVs and HDMI, and now there's what's the other new one? I can't even keep track of them all. We've got a surround sound system. Man, I love it when the helicopters, you know, you see them and they come from this side of the room to that side of the room. I know it's not real. I know they're not there, but boy, it sounds good, and it makes you go, woo, like, you know, theater sound. until it goes wrong. You ever had a surround sound, a 5.1, whatever it is, I don't even know what it is, surround sound, and one speaker goes out? Oh, it's great! Until the horses gallop from this side to that side and they skip right in the middle. What was there? Now see, we can get that when it comes to our surround sound. We get that when it comes to our entertainment. We get that when it comes to our movies. But you know what happens when we pick up and we can't be there, and we can't, all of a sudden we get the message today and we get all excited today and we're like, whoa man, this is awesome. And then something happens and we miss. I used to hate missing church. Because the best services happened when I wasn't there. I'm like, what are you doing to me? And you know what the Lord was doing? He was making me envious for what was happening when I wasn't there. And you know what happened? I started getting there. I started rearranging things so I could get there. And I was like, man, I love Dr. Shockey. When Dr. Shockey would come to town, man, I was like, man, I tried. And then all of a sudden, they made me work thirds on Friday night. And I was like, oh, no, I'm going to miss Dr. Shockey. Oh, that's okay. You can get the tape. No, I don't want the tape. I want it live. How many of you ever been to a concert? Any concert? Okay, we'll pray for you. No, I mean, no. How many of you ever seen a taped concert? Was it as good as the real deal? Live is so much better than Memorex. I'm sorry, Memorex. It's true. Live is so much better because as the Spirit begins to move, your Bible says it flows from breast to breast to breast. That means when I see someone over here praising the Lord, and I begin to praise the Lord, and the Spirit begins to fall, then they're going to get blessed. We're going to get blessed. Everybody's going to get blessed. Some people are going to get blessed just in spite of. They'll get a runover blessing, an overflow blessing, but at least they'll be blessed when they're here. It's hard to get that overflow if you're watching on the live. I'm sorry. We're glad you're there, but boy, if you could get here. Because this is where it's at. This is where the Holy Spirit was this morning and still is right now. This is where the Word's going forth right now. This is where the now Word's coming, the Rhema Word's coming from today, now. Amen. All right? Somebody says, well, I can read it by myself. Well, you know what? In heaven, when you get to heaven, I'm not going to disagree with that, but when you get to heaven, some of us may have to go to some of those remedial classes, learn how to get along and play well with others. Do they even have that on the report cards today? I used to get that was the one thing that I got. I got needs work on. Because I'm more of a just leave me alone type of guy. You say, how can a pastor be a leave me alone type of guy? I was a leave me alone type of guy. I don't know. See, it's a miracle. God calls these type of guys into the pastor, right? It's a miracle. You know, needs improvement. Leave me alone. You know, he would rather be by himself and working and playing by himself. He doesn't do well with others. You know, it's like, you know, I remember Mrs. Wade, God bless her. She called my mom in. You know, they used to have parent teachers conference where the parents had to go. They can just call off now. They just, we're not going to go. Mrs. Wade told my mom, she goes, Mrs. Sparks, I can put him in another room with a book or his favorite activity, and he'll be just fine. She goes, we can go into the gymnasium for an hour, he'll be just fine. She goes, I don't understand it. And my mom goes, Is there a problem? Is he being disruptive? No, but he just likes doing things on his own. I could have so been a mountain man. I could have so been. I'm seriously, you know, if the Lord would allow it, we prayed about that. Well, I prayed about this. If the Lord would have allowed it, I could have went to Alaska and been a missionary to the Inuits. Could have done it. I even got the boat for it. You know. Don't laugh at me, but I'm built for it. You don't want to see this in Bermuda. You don't want to see this on the beach. Matter of fact, every time that I go to the beach and I'm laying on the beach, you know, here comes these Greenpeace people or whoever, and they try to roll me back into the water. And I'm like, no, I'm up here on purpose. I didn't ask you not to laugh. I'm trying to be humble here. No. Lord help me. I got to get over. Okay. Back. Draw me back, Pastor. Give me a rope. Toss me a line, man. I need a lifeline. Toss me a bone, somebody. Okay. Now when they drew, okay, we're over into Mark. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. And he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will see a colt tied on which no one has sat. This is an unbroken colt. Now, I know there's some horse people in here. My uncle, God bless him, had horses. And one day he got a new batch. Again, this is when I was young and dumb. And now I'm just old and dumb, but it was young and dumb. He got a new batch. And we would always just go out to the barn and, you know, you grab a hold of the mane, throw yourself up on it, and just ride around for a little bit. You know, they don't put warnings on the ones that are not broken. And if you don't know that one's not broken, it's going to try to break you. It's going to try to break you plumb in half, and then it'll stomp on the rest. I always wondered why they called that horse's name Lucifer. I didn't really understand it. Black as midnight, big old nostrils, blowing steam, you know. I was like, oh. And whatever came over me to think that it would be okay to try to ride him bareback. And it wasn't in the YouTube days. It was way before YouTube. I couldn't say, hey, watch this. I couldn't, you know, my redneck buddies, we were all a bunch of rednecks. I didn't say, hey, hold my beer. You know, I didn't any of that. It was just whatever possessed me to say, I can do that. Well, truth be known, I couldn't do that. I didn't do that. Didn't do well. And those old slat barns, not the new barns that like y'all have, those old barns that they just nail slats on, I guarantee you that a 15-year-old boy being thrown off of a nasty horse will go through four of those. All the way through four of those. And there was some, I don't know what they did, I don't know what it was, but there was some round padding, little balls of round padding out on the back that broke my fall and probably saved my life. It stunk real bad, but anyway. All right, no. You understand where I'm saying, a young colt that had never been ridden. Nobody had ever sat on him. He said, loose him and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately, he will send it here. And so they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said, what are you doing loosing the colt? And they spoke to him, and just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. And then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw clothes on their clothes on it, and he sat on it. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's holding their breath. I imagine some of those guys are thinking, "Man, this is going to be good. This is going to be interesting." You imagine some of the people that said, "Okay, do you think they followed him and said, well, watch this?" I mean, it's human nature, right? Watch this. I'm thinking. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, you will know, and those of you who have been with us for a while, you will know that Lord is all capitalized here. When Lord is all capitalized, that means it's a personal name, and it means blessed is he who comes in the name of Jehovah or Yahweh. All right? They identified who he was. They identified what he was doing because it was prophesied that he would enter the city, he would come in on a horse that no one had tamed. He was fulfilling a prophecy right here. And they identified him. They were going in front of him and going behind him and saying, "Blessed, Hosanna." Glory to God in the highest, by the way. Where do we see Hosanna again? Or before? We see it in Luke chapter 2 when the shepherds, don't we? Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the King. And so here we're seeing glory to God in the highest again. And this time it's when Jesus is making his entry. He's making his presence known. He's coming in fulfilling another prophecy, which he fulfilled 700 plus prophecies in order that's how they declared him Messiah. He fulfilled them all. To fulfill 790 some prophecies in 33 years is amazing. To think that he didn't begin his earthly ministry until John 1:1 in the marriage of Cana, in the marriage of Cana, it was amazing that after 3 years of ministry, he at the end of it, he had fulfilled everything that was prophesied about him. Jesus is Lord. Hosanna! We should all say that together. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that when we call on him today, he still comes? Man, that's one of those things where you let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, I called on him. We talked about it in Psalm 34 a week or so ago. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. The Lord answered him. You know, when we cry out, he is faithful. He will hear us. The devil ever tried to tell you, nobody's listening? You know when the devil attacks the best? Right after a wonderful service, right after a wonderful message, you'll walk out in the parking lot and the devil will say, "Well, that was interesting. I hope you got something out of that." Can you really believe that? You know, and the good thing about it is we're just talking out of the book. Just a man in the book. We're just talking out of the Word of God. If you can't believe the Word of God, there's nothing in this world that you can trust in. Nothing. That's the truth. This word is truth. One of Jesus' names is righteous and true. He's faithful. We talked about that leading out of worship today. Blessed, verse number 10, blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They wouldn't stop saying Hosanna in the highest. Let me ask you a question today. Modern day believers, when did we stop praising the Lord? They wouldn't stop. And Jesus went into Jerusalem, into the temple. And so when he had looked around at all things, he said the hour was already late, and he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now I'm gonna stop. You won't have these scriptures, but I want to tell you, in his book, Pastor Tommy Tenney says it like this, and I'm gonna read it, and then I'm gonna quote to you what Pastor Tenney says. And Luke, he uses Luke 19 as his proof text. He says So those who were sent, in Luke 19, 32, if you want to write it down and check it out later, through 40, he says, so those who were sent their way found it just as he had said to them, but as they were loosing the colt, the owners of the colt said to them, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And they said to him, "The Lord has need of him." And then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and Jesus sat on him. And as they went, many spread their clothes on the road. And then, as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for the mighty works that they had seen. Now, this is just Luke's rendition. Physicians have to pay attention to detail. Here he is. Luke has given us a little more his perspective. Okay, and he's writing as a scribe back to his boss. Saying, verse number 38, saying, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And this is key. Verse number 39, it says, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, saying, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Okay, let me paraphrase it. Let me break it down for you. Some of the Pharisees called out from the crowd saying, Rabbi, have we ever disrespected the Lord? Remember when Nicodemus came in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night for fear of these guys? He said, we know that you are a prophet come from God, because no one could do the things that you're doing. To see the works that Jesus did with his own hand, to see what Jesus had done, to witness the many miracles, which is what they were saying, to witness all that Jesus had witnessed, and then to call him a name that you don't believe. They didn't receive him as rabbi. You know, one of the worst things in society today is you'll hear people that aren't believers say, well, I believe that Jesus was a good teacher. Then why aren't you following him? Well, I believe that Jesus was a prophet, then why aren't you hearing him? Well, I believe that Jesus was this, or I believe that Jesus was that. And remember, Jesus talked to his own disciples. He said to them one day, he said, who do men say that I am? And some said, well, some say you're a prophet. Some say you're a teacher. Some say you're Elijah, you know. Jesus knew what they were talking about. You know what? People are going to have all kinds of opinions about you. Most of them are going to be wrong. I'll just let that go right there. Y'all know, right? How many of you have people in your life that they have an opinion of you that wasn't drawn from their interaction with you, but from their interaction of somebody else other than you? And they just said, I'm good with that. If so and so believes that way, I'll believe that way. It'll be fine. You know, if they don't like you, I ain't liking you either. Right? Well, here we go back in the third grade all over again, aren't we? Well, if you're going to like Cindy, you can't be my friend. She's got cooties. You can't be my friend. If you're going to like her, you can't like me. You know I'm telling you the truth. There are people so controlling that say, if you're going to go there, I don't want to hang around with you. If you want to be with me, then you got to give up this. If you want to be with me, you got to. Do you know what? Do you know what? Jesus said, I'm going to come and meet you where you are. I'm going to meet you. I'm going to know everything about you, the good, the bad, the indifferent. I'm going to know everything about you, and I'm going to love you anyway. And if we're going to be Christ-like, then we have to love one another. True story. I can't be hating. I ain't got time to be hating on people. Yeah, like that viral video. Ain't nobody got time for that. I ain't got time to be hating. You'll never meet anybody on this earth that Jesus didn't die for. And if he thought they were to die for, let's leave that right there. And some of the Pharisees crowd out from the crowd. There are going to be people in the crowd. There are going to be people in the crowd that they're just checking up on him. They're just keeping an eye on him. They just... Me and little Willow do that every now and again. I look at her, and what you into? Oh, nothing, Papa. I'm like... Now she started doing it back. She turned 3 and things changed. She's, I'm watching you, Papa. Great. What a misnomer. If we just read it, we just say, they're calling him teacher, but they didn't mean it in their heart. Do you know what blasphemy really is? Blasphemy is to see someone who does great works in the name of the Lord, to see someone and to not believe, but to attribute a false title to him. The classic definition of blasphemy is where we attribute the works of God to the devil or the works of the devil to God. That's what they're doing. They didn't believe in Jesus. But in the Greek and in the other Gospels, they said, Rabbi. That means teacher of the gospel, teacher of the word of God. You ever had anybody come up to you and they give you a faux, they give you a false respect, and you know they didn't mean it, they didn't care, and you're like, and you saw right through it, and you're like, great, you know. I used to get that a lot when I was in management. Hey, man, we really appreciate you. No, you don't. You only here because of what I can do for you. If you really appreciated me, we'd be pals outside of here. We'd wet a line together somewhere and, you know, caught some fish together. We'd have done some outside activities outside of here. How many real friends, how many true friends do we really have in this world? One of my pastor friends told me that if you die as a pastor, if you die with five real friends, true friends, you are blessed. Imagine that. How many real friends do you have? Now, by this shall all men know that you're my brethren, that you have love one for another. How many should we have? Are we going to be like that crowd of Pharisees that say, I'm a believer when it's convenient, because let me just tell you, based on what we're learning on Sunday nights, it's not going to be convenient very much longer. You want to see where the attitude of the world and America is turning toward Bible believing Christians? Check out Newsweek's article on ORU last week. Check it out. I won't even preface it. Just check it out. ORU basketball team knocked off Ohio State. Sorry, Buckeye fans. Check out what was written about them. The times they are a changing. Right before our eyes. Okay? Pastor Tommy Tenney says, here we see, at this very moment, we see Messiah, the King of Glory, riding right past the temple. Those inside were holding a prayer vigil, pleading for Messiah to come. Talk about irony. Here these guys, these men, are walking out and they're saying, hey, teacher, tell these guys to be quiet. Don't you know we're doing something important in here? We're in here praying for Messiah. Talk about the forest and the trees. Hey, make all these people saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Make all these people shut up. What are they doing? We know Messiah's coming on a colt that's never been ridden. What are these people doing? That's an old colt that was tied up somewhere. You ever have one of those aha moments? These guys never had that moment. They were tragically born without an aha moment and a sense of awareness. We're in here praying for Messiah to come. We're doing something important, and you guys are having a parade right past the temple, right down the street of Jerusalem. We're in here doing something important for God. We're not too busy doing something important for God that we're missing God in our own lives, are we? Well, I don't mean to get that deep that quick, but think about it. Are we so busy being a Christian that we don't have time for God in our life? These guys were 24/7. Someone was in the temple praying for Messiah. And here Messiah is walking right past the steps of the temple, exactly how it was prophesied that he was going to come. They missed the first one too. It took some magi from the east who saw the star were waiting. Well, we don't believe in that sensational stuff. We don't believe that a star moved in the heavens till it came to rest right over top of where he's born. We don't. Somebody got it. And it wasn't the people that were that knew. It was people who were looking. Oh boy. Pastor, this is going to get deep. Isn't it amazing when you think about it that there are people who know the Bible, they've read the Bible, we used to. One of the things I've been real reluctant about going through the Bible in a year is that most people just do it to get it over with. Okay, pastor says we have to read this chapter and this chapter and this chapter this week, and so okay, we're done. Whoo! Oh, and I always have guys that'll say, oh man, I know where you guys are headed, but I'm already into the Book of Malachi. I'm ready to go. Malachi, you know, he was that Italian prophet. Right before Matthew's gospel. Man, the point of it is that so when we're reading it together, we can come together and talk about God. We can come together, we can learn. Now I'm not saying you have to read at the we don't have unison reading. I used to hate that in school, I'm sure you all do too. All right, class, we're gonna read in unison today, and everybody read that, you know, so we're gonna read in unison. No, I want you to read it, and then we bring our ideas together, what God is showing us out of it. And has God been showing any of you anything out of it? I mean, that thing I talked about with Moses, and is there no grace left for me? How many times, I'm 58 years old. How many times have I read over that and never saw it come alive to me out of the Word of God? Moses was talking with the Lord, and he says, the Lord said, you can see into the land, but you're not going to enter it. Pastor, how critical was God back then? Better to obey than sacrifice. How critical was God back then? Praise God for grace. Oh. If not for grace, where would we be? Where would we be? Lost without a prayer. Tommy Tenney says, they didn't understand. They missed him as a baby. And they had to get a wake-up call. We have seen his sign in the east and we have come to worship him. They missed him. Somebody is looking for Jesus today. And he said when he's going to appear the next time, it's going to be to those who are watching and waiting. You ever wonder why the world is putting so much on your plate that you can't even hardly breathe sometimes? Why the world is crowding you out so that you can't even think sometimes? Why most of the time at the end of the day you come home and you're just exhausted mentally, physically, and otherwise. And man, by the time you sink into that lazy boy, you're like, one of these days, there's going to be a trumpet blast. I want to be watching for him. I want to be ready. I want to be so ready for him. Jonathan Edwards was a pastor that ripped this country apart in the 1800s. He ripped this place up. You may have read the Pilgrim's Progress. But he said, I want to be ready. I want to be so looking for the Lord's appearing, that when I go out, I stand, and this is way before Captain Morgan, okay? I stand with one foot ready to leave these gravitational bounds. We need to understand that Jesus is coming back, if not for the whole, for each of us. Today. We may hear a call today. It may not be an entire body of Christ call. He may say, JC, you preached your last. You did good. You preached. You did what I told you. And so tonight I want you to come be with me. Remember, Pastor, he said, I go to prepare you a place. And if I go, be rest assured, I'll come again to receive you unto my own. If it were not so, I would have told you. That means that when my place is ready, when it's prepared, when I'm ready, when he's ready to call me, I'm out of here. I would love to see the rapture. It won't even matter. I'll see it from the other side. I'll see it from the other side. And you know me. You know me, in a moment, in a twinkling in my, hey, Devin! Hey, buddy! Nat! Hey! Okay, maybe not, but I'd like to. I'd like to think I could do that. Because that's my personality. That's who I am. And if we're going to be known as we're known, sorry to get all Bible on you. If we're going to be known as we're known, then you're not, you know. By the way, I'll tell you, you know, my grandfather used to tell me, don't look for no old bald-headed preacher, because he's going. He said, I'm going to have my jet black hair. He hated losing his hair. He said, Jace, don't look for no old bald-headed preacher. Let me tell you, don't look for no old fat preacher coming back, you know, on a horse, you know, because I have to be riding a Clydesdale if that was it. But no, just don't. Look, I'll be coming back with him, and I'll be like he is. But you'll know me because we'll be known as we're known. There's a lot of things that we have misconceptions and misideas about his coming and about his appearing, but there's one thing for sure. One of these days, a trumpet will sound. Then those who are dead in Christ shall rise first. And those who are alive and remain shall be caught up and meet him in the air. We'll be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. We'll be changed. We'll be changed. Oh. Verse number 40 says, and you still don't have this one yet. We'll get back down to those in a minute maybe. Verse number 40 says, but he answered and said, that I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. And I tell you what, there was a song back in the 80s, ain't no rock going to sing my praise. Ain't no rock going to praise in my place. I'm going to praise the Lord. He said, if these keep their peace, if these are silent, then the stones would immediately cry out. Allow me to insert a question here, if you will. Today, on most Sundays, the American church will praise Jesus and they'll sing songs and hymns and worship and adoration unto Jesus, the Lord and Savior. Today in America. But the same crowd encircling Jesus as he entered the city in just a few short days, was no longer shouting Hosanna. Just a few days from Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In just a few days, they weren't shouting and they weren't shouting Hosanna. No, they were screaming away with him. Give us Barabbas. You see, it's one thing to get caught up in the heat of the moment. It's one thing to get caught in the moment of passion. It's one thing to be influenced by the heat of the moment. Because people do all kinds of silly stuff in the heat of the moment. There are people who have taken part in riots that were just happened to be there. And that they just went with the flow. And some of them have regret. They won't tell their friends, boy, I was really ashamed that I did that. I was really ashamed. Some of them, their conscience is really eating them up. And let me just tell you, if that was you, and that's you, and you're watching, wherever you may watch it from, there is forgiveness. There is a cleansing of the guilt that you're bearing today. But this same crowd that was saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, just a week later were screaming, crucify him, away with him, give us Barabbas. What about us? Can I be so bold to ask, where do we stand in the concourse of history? I mean, we come to church and we say we believe in Jesus. We have all the churchy activities and we go through the motions. But is there something more? Is Jesus Jesus on Monday? Is he Jesus on Tuesday? You see, just because we congregate together as a body of believers and we congregate and we come in the name of Jesus, what about Monday when the rubber meets the road? Are we still praising Him? Your Bible says we should be. Your Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. If we are moved by music and worship and whatever, if we're moved out of a group mentality, then we can be moved in another way by another group. We have to know for ourselves and not another, don't we? We have to have Jesus in our hearts. That's what, by the way, that's what makes worship so unique and dynamic, is that I come to worship Jesus, my Lord, and you come to worship Jesus, your Lord, and together, your Bible says if one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. Not sure about that math, but it's God's math, and so it works. And there's way more than two here today. So if I've got a problem, and I'm having trouble putting it to flight, I'm going to get a hold of some of y'all. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to get a hold of you guys and say, I need you to stand with me. Your Bible says that wherever two or three of you agree on any one thing, touching that thing, that means we're focused on that thing, it shall be done. It shall be done. Not it might be done, not we'll have to run it past, you know, the Heaven Credit Bureau and just to make sure you pass a credit check, you know, and we'll get back with you in 60 to 90 days, you know. Aren't you glad that we don't have to wait like Daniel had to wait? You know, the member he prayed and then all of a sudden he was praying, you know, Lord, hey, we need you down here. And then 21 days later, you know, the angel showed up and said, man, the Prince of Persia withstood me. I was dispatched the minute you prayed, but the Prince of Persia, he withstood me, and I had to call for backup, called for Michael to take care of him, and I came on. 21 days. Pastor, we have reports of people that they ask, what do you want the Lord to do for you? Remember? What do you want the Lord to do for you? They were in a situation where they didn't think that they were going to qualify. They didn't think that they were going to get a house. They've been praying for a house. They've been believing for a house. They were tithing. They were giving. They were working in the church. And we were like, hey, listen, what do you want the Lord to do for you? And it's His good pleasure to give His children the kingdom. What do you want God to do for you? And in Malachi chapter 3, He says, prove me now herewith. I said, have you been following the what the Lord says? Have you been tithing? Have you been, well, yeah, we've been faithful. And then the Lord says, prove me now herewith that I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing. I said, do you believe the word of God? And they said, well, yeah. Well, yeah. And so what do you want? Well, we'd like that house. We've been living in, you know, out here in this place, and we don't like it. It's not a very good to raise our family. We'd like this house. I said, okay, let's do this. We gathered around. I said, I want you to tell the Lord. Lord, we've been serving you. We love you. What? Tell him. You can't do that, Pastor. We can't do that. Christians, we can't do that. Really? Moses did. In our readings in the past couple weeks, did not Moses say, what did you do? Your enemies are going to say, God, that you brought these children out of Egypt to kill them in the desert? What are your enemies going to think? If your word's not true, Lord, if your word's not true, what are your enemies going to think? Either His word is true or it's not true. Not if it's true to you or true to me. His word is true. So they finally said, Lord, we want that house. And the elders around there agreed with them. Almost before we were done praying. I mean, it was not even a half hour later. Guy's shirt starts buzzing. It's like, hey, you gonna get that? A realtor called and said, they accepted your offer. They're still living there today. They're living there today. But they almost gave up. They came a hair. You ever prayed a prayer like, well, maybe God doesn't want me to do this. Maybe God doesn't, you know, maybe you ought to tell the devil to shut up, you liar. Maybe you ought to tell the devil, you know, I ain't got no time for that. Because blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. So what about us? What about us? We go through all the activities. We go through the motion. But is there something more? I'm not going to embarrass anybody today. If you're here and you're born again, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you a question. Remember, I asked for permission at the first of this. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question watching by the broadcast today. When you're alone, away from the crowd, away from the tug, away from the pull, when you're alone, is God saying, I want you to do this? Is God telling you, I've got to work for you, I'm calling you? Can you feel God calling you in your life? Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hands. As a matter of fact, I want you to examine yourself right now. Are you hearing, I'm feeling a tug? Are you hearing the voice of God? Are you feeling a tug? And the Lord is saying, man, I really want you to, and then you only you can fill in the blank because God's talking to you. I want you to. And you don't feel it so often because God's not in the, he's not in the thunder. He's not in the mighty rushing wind. He's not in the earthquake. But he's in that still, small voice. And what is he speaking to your heart? You see, it's not until we understand what our calling is that we can begin to fulfill our calling. You have to understand. You have to understand what the Master is calling for us to do. You say, well, I want to do this or I want to do that. What's the Master calling you to do? Well, I think I should do this. And I think, how many times have I thought that this was a good idea? Not so much. I love those pizza dream ideas. Because some of them could be fantastic failures. I throw that in there. Yeah. It's easy for us, as followers of Jesus Christ, to get caught up in the moment. And it's easy for us to be swept away by the momentum of the crowd. Man, when I go to a ball game, I'm in, man. I'm there. Man, I'm rooting my team on. When I go to a ball game, I'm on it, man. Go to any activity. Yeah. I put the go in golf. I really do. I wish I could hit it straight, but sometimes it don't happen. There's the plan, and then there's the reality. And I live in reality along the golf course. And penalty strokes. But other than that, out of bounds. Golf is very unforgiving that way. Are we caught up in the momentum? But when we're alone with our thoughts and that nudging and that urging comes, is Jesus asking us or asking you to come out a little bit farther than where you are right now? Some of us he's called to launch out into the deep, hasn't he, Pastor? Some of us he's called to launch out, come further. Jesus has a calling on each and every one's life. When you're alone, do you feel the tug? Do you feel the call? Do you feel the nudge? I left men's ministry yesterday. I left the breakfast, and the Lord just started putting this into my heart. All the way over to the house to pick up a canopy that we're having redone. All the way up to Milford to the Amish canvas shop, and all the way back down. Man, the Lord was just dumping this in. He says, "I have a call on everyone's life. No one was called. No one was called and just to be a Christian and that's it. If the only calling on your life was to be saved, the moment that you gave your heart to Jesus, you're out of here. He would take you home. So if indeed you're here and you're born again, then you have a calling on your life. And the question remains, are you walking in and working in fulfilling your calling? Because there's going to be a test. There's going to be a test. The Apostle Paul said, I have run the race. I have finished the course. There is therefore now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. If I don't run my race and I don't finish my course, can I say what the Apostle Paul said? Or will we hear Jesus say, what hindered you? What hindered you? What is the calling on your life? Do you know what it is? Do you know? Only you can answer that question. That's rhetorical. Only you can answer that. For the believer, but non-followers, you know, you can be a believer and not follow Jesus. There are people who are believers, but they're not following. They're not pursuing Him. For the believer, but non-follower, I believe that God in Jesus... But I'm not really, they say I believe in God and Jesus, but I'm not really into all that witnessing or Bible study stuff. I love Jesus, but I have my own life to live, you know. What if you don't fulfill the calling that Jesus has placed in your life? What then? There are literally thousands of people in churches today who will follow Jesus as long as society deems that it is acceptable. But the minute that the mindset of society, the minute that the paradigm shifts, they're out of here. How fast can it happen? 1 week. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. 7 days. Away with him. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. And the big one. Let his blood be on our hands. From Hosanna to receiving the curse. We're reading about the curse in Deuteronomy this week, aren't we? The curse. Okay. Why is that important, Pastor? Why is that important? It's important because of the analogy of the fig tree. Back over on screen now in verse number 12. He says, now on the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. He was hungry. And seeing afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to it to see if perhaps he would find something on it. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. The fig tree is unique, inasmuch as the fig tree has fruit twice a year. They have early figs and late figs. The early figs come out prior to the leaves. Check it out. The late figs come out as the leaves are falling off. And then they put forth little buds, and then it looks kind of like winter wheat or winter figs. Then in the spring, they'll push them out before the leaves come again. Seeing leaves on it, you would have thought that there would have been fruit. You know, I mean, seeing the cross necklace and the fish bumper sticker, and you would think that person's saved. He saw it from afar off. You know, a lot of times we want to believe that God is watching us from a distance, don't we? There was a popular song in the 80s or 90s. You know, God is watching us from a distance. I don't know which God they were serving, but my God is inside me. He said he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. Whatever I'm seeing, he's seeing. Whatever I'm doing, he's seeing. Ouch. Because sometimes, we've been talking about recently, sometimes it's hard to bless people when they're cutting you off in traffic and hollering at you. We just it's hard. It said it was not the season for figs. And in response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. Whole nother lesson. We'll talk about it deep in depth on Wednesday night. They weren't actually selling sacrifices. They were, I don't want to say this about the gas companies, but they were gouging poor people. People would come and they would bring, as the Levitical law, they would bring their sacrifice and they would have an inspector at the temple and they would say, "Well, no, that turtle dove's got a blemish on it. You got to throw that away and call it and get this one, or that calf has a spot and so it's not acceptable. Your sacrifice isn't any good. So you have to buy one here," and they had to buy it at 10 times the price. They were gouging people. Shows you what Jesus thinks about people gouging, doesn't it? Taking advantage of folks. Hello? All right. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold the doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And he taught and said, Is it not written that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? All nations? Even America? As we read this, we have to open it up, don't we? We have to unfold it, because it's like the napkin in the tomb. If we leave it, there's a message being sent. You have to get it. All nations? And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. They feared him. They were afraid of him. Because he's going to give them revelation. He's going to give them a new word. He's going to give them a word for today, a now word. And when evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the tree which you cursed has withered away." And Jesus answered and then said to them, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God." Jesus came to the fig tree expecting to find fruit, and he found none. When Jesus comes for me, will he find me faithful in fulfilling the calling that he has placed on my life? Will he find me faithful? Will he find me doing that which he purposed me to do? The fig tree's only job was to produce figs. Will he find us faithful, church? We want to say Hosanna because it's fun. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But tomorrow morning, where will we be? Tomorrow evening, where will sunset find us? Still walking in our calling, or questioning, is he really God? We have to go back to Genesis chapter 3, where we see the serpent making Eve say, "Did God really say?" How many times have we heard that over and over, replayed in our life? Has God really said? You say, "Well, I don't think I'm that big of a deal." Let me just tell you something. If you're born again, you're a child of the Most High God. You're an heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's a pretty big deal. Don't let the devil try to trick you to giving up your blessing. Don't let the devil try to trick you into giving up your position. Don't let the devil try to rob you, because that's his job, to steal, kill, and then ultimately destroy. Don't let him get away with it. Every morning when you get up and you look in the mirror, you say, I'm a child of the King. I'm a son of God. Ladies, I'm a daughter of the King. Let me just tell you, man. Daddies love their daughters. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Fathers love their sons. Fathers pray for sons. You want a son. I thought our firstborn was going to be a son. Matter of fact, the doctor said, "Yeah, heart," but they didn't have all this fancy 3D digital imaging. They couldn't give us a laser printed version of the baby when in the womb. Then you guys seen that? They can take a picture, and now the mom can go home with a little laser printed thing. You know, mirror image, I guess, of the baby. We didn't have that. Doctor said, well, the heartbeat looks like it's going to be a boy. The heartbeat looks like it's going to be, I'm reasonably sure, Mrs. Sparks, you having a boy. So there was the IU basketball uniform. There was the Nike tennis shoes. There was the fishing pole. There was the, you know, nickname of Scooter. Come here, Scooter. Wrong. But you know what? Since June 26, 1980, and I'll let you guys figure out the rest, I have been one of the most blessed men on the earth. Because dads love their daughters. And then again, on April 1st, 1980, I'll let you figure it out. I called my mother-in-law. April 1st. You guys may not have picked up on it, but I like to joke a little bit. I called my mother-in-law on April 1st, and I said, if you want to be there when our baby's born, you better get moving. And she was like, ha, 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 I know it's April 1st. I know you ain't April fooling me. And in the background, you know, the water's breaking and Vanessa's going through contractions, and I'm like, this ain't no April fool. She goes, oh, no. I said, okay, fine. I said, we going our way. Bag is packed. All our bags are packed. And anyway, we're on our way to the hospital. She calls my mom. My mom lives like 25 miles south of her. She calls my mom and says, I think, and my mom's like, we're leaving now. She's like, what? I thought he was, no, we're leaving now. And my mom beat her to the hospital. There's some things you just don't kid about, you know. Wish I'd have thought about kidding about it, but But since that time, my perspective on life has changed. I don't live for self anymore. It was amazing. It was an amazing transformation. When you become a dad, anybody can be a father. When you become a dad, when you become daddy, man, it changes you. When you become grandpa or papa. Now, if the Lord allows me to stay here long enough, like y'all, they make you great. You be great. I'm just papa. But when Willow and Hannah get around and the others that are coming, when they get around and they start having grandkids, I'm gonna be great. I'm gonna be, oh yeah, you ain't. That's all right. I'm rocking this pawpaw thing. I was made for pawpaw. That's me. All right. Maybe I was called. Maybe that's it. My calling. Pawpaw. Woo. Oh, no. I don't know your hearts, but I want to let you know these altars are open. If you don't know your call, or you're struggling with your call, ask the Lord. He won't hide from you. Right? I mean, he hid the answers from Daniel, didn't he? He said, "No, Daniel, you can't know these answers." He said, "There's going to be sealed up until the time of the end." But he's opening up the answers now. What is your calling? What's God calling you to do? And then if you don't know him, man, I would love to introduce you to him. Because while I talk about my family with love and adoration, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was when he took away my sin. When he took away my sin. Because you know what he did? I went from being a stranger to being a son. I call him Father. Much better than that, I call him Abba, which translates as Daddy. Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for the example whereby we cry, Hosanna. Lord, we thank you for what you went through to rescue and redeem each and every one of us. And Lord God, I ask right now that as we are looking at seeing what our calling is, what the calling that you're putting on our life is, where you're calling us to do, Lord, that we would find that and begin to walk in the path that you're leading, that we too, along with the Apostle Paul, will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, as we turn our hearts toward this week and the events that happened between now and the cross, give us time, Lord, to reflect on the sacrifice that you made. For without it, where would we be? Without it, we would surely be lost. Lord, we love you and we thank you. I thank you for each and every one that was here today, Lord. I just ask that this word would get into their heart and into their soul today, so that we might do our level best to be workmen that need not be ashamed. That we would take up our crosses and follow you. We love you, Jesus. And our hearts are still crying, Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is the King that is coming. And it's in your name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. If you need prayer today, we'll stay around. These altars are always open. You can pray if you need prayer, if you need prayer for healing or whatever, Pastor and I will be here. We'll stay. We'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.